Hi guys, bit of a strange episode today, and the fact I've not really been able to edit it to the best of my abilities, so I'm sorry if this doesn't sound fantastic. The audio is absolutely fine, it's just there might be a few hiccups along the way. This is because myself and Toby are both graduating this week, so we've missed out the most recent ODI, which England won in Taunton, meaning England won two series, lost one test match, which means they've lost the Ashes. And we have a little bit of a chat about this on the podcast, but we're both not a big fan of England losing despite winning more games. It's very strange, but this is the Women's Ashes special, so please enjoy. It's an absolutely amazing episode, and it's so lovely to have everyone on board.
This is URN Sport.
University Radio Nottingham, that's a good station as well. URN, let them do a go well to finish, please.
Can you stop editing the go well, please, at the end of their show?
Cheers.
Go well. Keep it URN.
Keep it URN.
URN.
This is URN.
Hello and welcome to Sticky Wickets, a very sad Sticky Wickets as England are unable to win back the Women's Ashes. A really disappointing end, losing by three wickets down in Hampshire. I'm joined by Charlotte, Toby and Will. Losing by three runs, Charlotte. It is so disappointing. Are you okay? Because I know how much you're invested in this team. I'm gutted as well. But are you okay? That's the main thing.
Yeah, I mean, it does hurt a little bit, especially after we did three back-to-back. And it was almost like, we can do this. But yeah, to lose by three, it's not great.
It's by the barest of all margins, as that was 4 years ago as well. But we're going to just focus on the England women's team. Toby, have you enjoyed the Women's Ashes? We're going to go back to the start as we haven't done a special for it, but the comeback has been superb from the England women, hasn't it?
Yeah, it really has. I gave them absolutely no chance after they lost the first test match. Well, the only test match. I thought that was the only real way that England had a hope of winning the Ashes. And it kind of proved right in the way that that's been the big difference. They managed to win the T20 series, still got a chance of winning the ODI series, but haven't. Having sort of got played off the park in that first test match, the only test match, sort of seems to be quite a big difference, which is a bit of a shame. But I thought they played extremely well throughout the whole series. And I think it does show maybe there's a slight change in the way that England are starting to play their cricket. Australia have been so dominant for so long. If England win this next ODI coming up in a couple of days, it will be the first ODI series loss the Australian women team since 2013, which is almost a decade of dominance from them.
It's incredible to think that no one has challenged them as deep as we have for 10 years. And let's not forget, England were the first team to beat them in a T20 series for the first time in 6 years. But let's go back to the test, as we did have a few sticky wicket regulars at Trent Bridge. England was set quite a demanding total of 473, but Sophie Eccleston took five wickets. Sutherland and Perry got very big scores. Annabelle Sutherland, 137. Elise Perry falling on the dreaded 99. In response, England put on 463, with Tamsin Beaumont scoring a record 208. The first England woman to score a double century since 1935. Incredible. Absolutely incredible. Massive shout out to Tammy Beaumont there. The Aussies were put on 257 and England could only reply with 178, with Danny Wyatt falling on the final day to end England's hopes. And due to the multi-series format, it is a big loss at the start of the Ashes series to losing the test. Now, Toby, you were there. What was it like to go to your first women's test match?
I absolutely loved it. I thought it was amazing. Went on two different days. I went on the third day, I think it was, where Tammy Beaumont scored her double hundreds. And that was unbelievable. The crowd absolutely loving it when she was sort of smashing the ball around. And then I went on the fifth day where England couldn't quite get over the line. I thought it was always going to be a tough ask from the position they were in. They lost sort of too many wickets the night before and couldn't really get going. But I was just so excited to see how many people there were. It was significantly busier than any county championship match I've ever been to. I think shows the growth of the women's game. Obviously an international match, and I think it was probably a good few thousand people each day, even on the fifth day when there weren't loads of people around. It still had a good atmosphere and a good vibe, and I think it And I mean, you mentioned Tammy Beaumont there as well, double 100 for her. She's now, along with Heather Knight, scored 100 in every single format of the of cricket, sort of to international cricket, which is, yet again, a fantastic feat.
Let's also put it in perspective, Dawid Malan and Joss Butler, as Toby will rightly say, are the only batters to do that for England. So they're in a real like league of their own. Will, you were at the Trent Bridge Test match. How did you enjoy going to see women's Test cricket?
I mean, me and Toby had a great morning, didn't we, Toby? I'm not sure whether I should go to another women's cricket game. So we didn't really bring the good result. But the biggest thing that I've noticed in terms of women's cricket has been the atmosphere at a game and the difference in atmosphere compared to men's games. Now, I love the Hollies as much as anyone else, but going to as this might kill you to hear me say, Don, but the 100 in the first year and then the Commonwealth last year, the atmosphere is just a lot. It's a lot better, I think, if you're trying to encourage people to go to cricket. I think we've seen that throughout, even though the only sort of real sellout crowds I've caught have been through the TV. We've kind of seen that again with this series, I think. Just a real sort of positive atmosphere throughout the whole experience.
It feels so welcoming, doesn't it? And I know England lost, but there felt such an excitement about the Women's Ashes going in to, well, Edgbaston in front of the Hollies, which is a very different Hollies, very family orientated, less beer, more like sort of family friendly entertainment. And England sort of threw it away, didn't they, Toby? Australia would win with a ball to spare and by 4 wickets. But what did you make of that game? Was there some questions about the captaincy?
Yeah, I thought Heather Knight, could have handled the situation a bit better. And we had this sort of discussion on our group chat as well. She left Sophie Eccleston to bowl the last over, which meant she didn't quite have a full allocation. The game was kind of already out of her hands by then, unfortunately. She'd given Lauren Bell and Freya Davies the 2 overs before, who both couldn't quite hold their nerve at the end. And it was shown again with Lauren Bell with the second ODI yesterday. Went for 26, I think, off her last over, which again was a big difference and would have possibly seen England over the line. And I think maybe that part of that could just be that Lauren Bell hasn't been put in the situation before, or the England bowlers haven't been put in the situation before, and they haven't necessarily selected the right attack for their death bowling. You sort of seen the England men's side as well a few years ago, sort of before Owen Morgan came, and not really knowing who was going to be their death bowlers. They went to Ben Stokes in 2016, who probably should never have been put in that situation. They shouldn't almost gone to your specialist death bowlers, which all the best teams will always have. I mean, England, when they're playing their best, will have Jofra Archer in there, knowing he's going to nail Yorker after Yorker, or can go for the back of the hand slower balls, drag it in short if he needs to as well. You have to have a lot of different options and a very different skill set for bowling at the death than you do anywhere else. And Lauren Bell and Fred Davies are both phenomenal new ball bowlers, and even through the middle overs as well. But they maybe don't quite have the skills necessarily for the death bowling. And I think to try and use Sophie Eccleston in that last over when the game had almost already gone, if it'd maybe been a couple overs before and Heather Knight had maybe sort of thought about bringing her on sooner to try and get sort of a key wicket where possible and slow the Australian attack, it might have been able to maybe salvage a win from sort of jaws of defeat.
But it was so England. It doesn't matter what gender, what team, whatever it is, it was so England to get yourself into the position where you could win. And then there was just some problem with the management. And at that point, Australia put themselves in a position where all they had to do is win one more game to regain the Ashes. Charlotte, how are you feeling at this point? Only 2 games in, into a 7-game series. Were you upset, disappointed, or did you believe there's a chance here?
Well, it was 6-0 down. So there's a small part of me that thought, yeah, it's still possible. It's 5 out of 6 games we need to win to get the Ashes. It's possible. And then when we won the next one and the next one and the next one, I thought, we can actually do this. And then, yeah, yesterday, wasn't a good day.
It was not a very good day. But things start to improve from there. The next game, England would travel to the Oval, and what an absolute thriller this was. Danny Wyatt would hit 76 off 46 in front of 20,000 England fans. Fantastic. The Oval was packed with, again, families coming to watch the cricket. England put on 186. Australia managed to get 183. And the wheels started turning for English momentum, levelling it up 1-1 in the series. Charlotte, how did you enjoy this T20 game?
It was great. I mean, from all aspects, fielding, bowling, batting, it was just basically a perfect game of cricket. I mean, it helps that we won, but all round, it was great for the women's game as well to see that standard being played. It was fantastic.
Have there been any players who've caught your eye over this Women's Ashes series, Charlotte?
There's the obvious one of Sophie Eccleston. Like, so in the Test match, she bowled, I think it was a third of England's overs. So she bowled 77 overs across two innings, which is mental for one player to bowl that many. She took a tenfer, five in each innings, which is equally as impressive. And then to play the T20s like she's done, she's taken five wickets across all three of those. And then to come into the ODIs and have already taken four with a game still to play, it's just incredible.
It's been absolutely superb from Sophie Eccleston. England would win by, again, quite a narrow margin, but that made the series alive. England would then travel to Lords to the highest women's attendance for a bilateral game. It was an absolute cracker as England were running amok at Headingley in the men's game, and then England would win on Duckworth Lewis. It was a really tight game, Will. It just sort of showed, for the first time ever, Australia could be beaten as England won the series 2-1. What does that mean in women's cricket to you?
I think it's that game in particular, showing that Australia team could be beaten, because for so many Ashes series, it seemed to become, sadly, just a bit of a formality as a series. You know, you go in a bit like when the men travel to Australia. It would, you know, you sort of go in with this false sense of, oh, you know, it'd be a bit of chance. And then they just have so much depth and so much quality. But I think the biggest thing to take away from that game that really, that was when it sort of, I think people really began to start thinking, could they take it the distance? Is if anything, the fact that by that point, I remember there was a bit in that game, it was either that game or the Oval game. I think it was the one at Lords when Alice Capsey came out to bat, that she got like a real reaction from the crowd. And you really start to realise that a lot of this England team, on merit, can go toe-to-toe with this Australia side. And I think the fact that, I know we're not there yet, but the game at the Aegeus Bowl was lost by four runs, is testament to just how far they've come over the last 5-6 years. I mean, what was that T20 series? Wasn't that like the first time Australia had lost in a T20 series, or in a series altogether, for like 6 years, was it? Or something like that? Some crazy stat. And I think if anything, that game showed, and the fact of how tight these games have been, just showed that the quality in the England side, going from a couple of years ago where that Ashes series down under was, there was quite a lot of, there's a real sort of vast difference in quality, to now, where it just seems that, I mean, the fact that England are able to leave players like Izzy Wong out of the series says a lot about how much depth they've got as a team.
I was quite disappointed not to see Izzy Wong. Obviously made herself famous through tailenders, but then what she's done in the women's IPL has been absolutely superb and sort of made her a superstar. And to say, actually, Izzy, you're not quite good enough to make in our international team, says absolute volumes about this England's T20 team, who beat, obviously, Australia 2-1 in that. Then we would go down to Bristol. Oh, this was an absolute tense one, wasn't it, Toby? Kate Cross would deliver, but there was a long time in that where I thought the Ashes are gone. Did you enjoy that game, or were you more nervous like I was?
Yeah, that was another tough one again. Heather Knight sort of managed to bat through a long time, and England sort of got off to an okay start. But the wickets just sort of kept tumbling and tumbling. And it was a tough one. I sort of ended up missing the end of it because I was playing cricket. But sort of just sort of seeing on your phone, and people are shouting on as to what might be happening or what was happening was a weird one. And it did just seem like when England won that, I just thought they actually have a massive chance. I was kind of hoping, and it's a bit of a weird one, that the match, the Sunday match, the second ODI, was going to be rained off, so they would all go down to Taunton. And then whoever won the match that will be tomorrow would have then just won the whole Ashes, rather than the Aussies, oh, they've retained it, but they've not won the series. Or if we won the last one, then it's, oh, who's going to win this next one? If they win it, they still retain it, but they've lost the match. Like, we could go on and win. We'll win. If, say, England win the next match, the final ODI, they will have won that match and obviously be happy about it and drawing with the Aussies. But the Aussies will have just lost the match, but still won the series, but not won the series. They've lost that series, but they've won the Ashes, but they haven't won the Ashes. They're retaining the Ashes, but they're going to be presented with the trophy having lost two series. It's all going to be a bit weird, I think, unless the Aussies win this next one and sort of comfortably prove it.
Charlotte, do you think this multi-format series or multi-format bilateral series is quite inaccessible to new fans, or do you think it offers something and creates more of a narrative? What are your thoughts on this series?
I think it offers a bit more for everyone, because Test match, I get, for some people it's way too long, 5 days. If you're a new cricket fan, you don't want to have to be invested in it for 5 days. Whereas the T20s, they're over in 4 hours and that's it. Someone's hooked on cricket after 4 hours. So I think it's perfect, especially for the women's game, to get more and more people interested. I would like to see more test matches in it, though, rather than just the one. I think the women deserve it. And just even, yes, we lost the test match, but the quality of play was fantastic. So I think I'd like to see more test matches in the series, but keep it multi-format.
Will, you're often someone who's very worried about test cricket and the white ball game, what's going to happen in the future. Surely the growth of women's test cricket, which we're seeing, and hopefully we'll have more women's test cricket in the future, is a benefit to the test game and should be promoted.
Absolutely. I do think it's a tough one, because as Charlotte says, would you rather have 20,000 people fill out the Oval for a T20 or 20,000 people turn up over the space of 5 days? And it's tough, because when you have that kind of spectacle of those sellout T20s near enough at Edgbaston and the Oval, and I think it was close at Lords as well. Having that on TV and seeing a packed out stadium does a lot for the women's game, I think. And it's tough, because the women deserve more test matches, and it would be great to reach a point where it's a five test series like we have with the men. But it's that balancing act of not wanting, as Charlotte says, to push away the new fans, because it's that spectacle of having a packed out Oval for the great finishes we've had in the T20s and ODIs. It's kind of like you can't really put a value on that at this stage in kind of women's cricket's growth. But I do think that it's the first series where it's really felt like, yeah, next year there should be, the women should have more than just one sort of courtesy test in an Ashes series. Maybe if it's like, you know, I don't know how it'd work, but three tests and then to like an ODI and a T20, because they've definitely reached the point now where even as sports people, they do deserve at least more than one test this summer.
Definitely. And I know I wasn't able to go, but I was following it on my phone, following it on the radio. And what I loved was the treatment of it. And there wasn't sort of a big deal about it. It was just, this is a women's test match. And it didn't feel like a novelty. And I think what I'm really enjoying about the women's Ashes is the way it's been, for the first time in a long time, I'd say, it's being treated equally. And that is so important. And one thing that was also fantastic, we sort of brushed over this, some of the T20s were on the BBC Sport and BBC Two on a primetime Saturday night. We talked about big stadiums being sold out, but how important is it that the women's game is on BBC Two on a primetime slot?
Oh, hugely, because more and more people are getting access to it. More and more people are getting interested in it, and more people are wanting to learn about women's cricket. Maybe even young girls, or even like women who are adults, they're wanting to get into cricket themselves and play cricket, which I think is massive for cricket as a whole.
I think this Ashes series, for the women in particular, has, I think, almost hopefully will be a game changer in the way that, I think we're obviously discussing it now, I think they maybe could look at changing the series. I'd like to see a second test brought in, maybe move it towards the end of the series, and maybe dropping it down to 3 points rather than four, so it kind of keeps it a bit narrower. But also, I what I think would be really, really good for not only the women's game, but for sort of cricket generally in England, say, for example, is if you have the sort of the women's and the men's Ashes at separate cycles. So rather than them being the same summer, imagine next summer when England are playing, I think playing Sri Lanka in the West Indies in what could be some fairly dull test matches. You had the women's Ashes going alongside sort of two sort of dull series for the men's cricket. You had the women's Ashes going alongside, and that could then be almost the main part of the summer and the sort of the biggest aspect, and that could almost be in front and center of the English summer. And then okay, you might see Joe Root hitting 400 against a sort of very dodgy West Indian bowling attack, but you'd actually then get to see Heather Knight, Beth Mooney, Nat Sivabrant, all of these massive global stars playing each other. And that would almost then be the main aspect, rather than sort of almost trying to have to compete them against each other. And as I think we mentioned in the last pod, Don, where the women's Ashes, one of the matches was starting while the test match was still going because of rain delays and everything. So I think maybe trying to separate them more could be an option, because I think the women's Ashes has proved it can stand alone, basically, and is a very viable option for the future, and it's only going to get bigger and better.
I'm just going to slightly disagree with you, because I have loved being able to sort of fill the gaps in the test summer with a women's ODI, or when the England men have finished playing in a test match, the T20 just starts, and obviously with rain it was a bit unfortunate. But the whole Ashes fever has really been so exciting, and I do get your point that maybe putting them on the main stage is probably actually, maybe I'm being very gluttonous and just being very selfish and just wanting all my Ashes in one summer. But I definitely get your point just thinking about it, that they deserve, let's face it, Sri Lanka and West Indies, if we don't win all but one test match, we'd be disappointed. To put them on the pedestal they deserve to be on and be treated as equals like any other Ashes. Oh, Toby, you've changed my mind. You have changed my mind. I do think it should become different cycles, but, or maybe it could be, they're in the same summer, but at different times. And it's better organized. It's not...
I think the one thing I would say, if they are at the same summer, I would rather that they work together. Because I think the marketing for it has been exceptional. And on a slightly different point, I don't know if any of you seen the, I think it's the French football advert, which is yet again kind of comparing the women's and the men's games and sort of saying, oh, you think that, I don't really know how they've done it. It's sort of AI thing.
So they put like Griezmann's face on, I'm sorry, I don't know any French female footballers, put Griezmann's body essentially on the skill that a female player is doing. And they're going, oh, there's nothing better than men's football. There's nothing better than men's football. You guys have all been tricked. This is women's football. And it really, like, it made you go, oh, wow. And the only thing that I could just tell was just the different stadiums. But bar that, it was impossible to tell. It was fantastically edited. But the ECB's marketing, where Izzy Wong's bowling a ball to, say, Steve Smith, who's then getting out, it made it so interchangeable. And this series has been so interchangeable with the men's. It's been a really exciting period for women's cricket. And one thing we also need to talk about is the names of women who are getting out there. Someone like Heather Knight, who put in a fantastic captain's innings in Bristol, 75 off 86, guiding her team to victory. They're becoming not quite household names. They haven't broken sort of the non-cricketing community, but they're becoming equal to England men's team. Players like Izzy Wong, Sophie Eccleston, Tammy Beaumont, they're all becoming so accessible. Sarah Glenn. And I just think it's been so important to see TV and radio treating women's cricket equally. Charlotte, when you were growing up, was there anything quite like this for you?
No, nowhere near. This, for me, in recent years, it's been fantastic for the women's game because it's just getting bigger and bigger. A couple of years ago, they'd be lucky to even get radio commentary. And now the fact that BBC 2 have had it, Sky have had every game, radio have had it, the ECB have streamed a couple on their website. So I think the fact it's just being made more accessible to everyone, and I think it's perfect.
A lot of comments on social media, as we're all aware, social media is a horrible, horrible place, and I've been getting into a lot of fights on Sticky Wickets trying to deal with sexist. I'm not going to swear, Toby, for my own editing, but people saying, oh, it's only £5, and people saying that is a bad thing. But one thing the ICEC report has said is how inaccessible cricket is. How fantastic that people are going to be able to go to the Oval for £5. Will, it surely it's a good thing.
Oh, absolutely, it is a good thing. And the fact that the women's game is more financially accessible than the men's game probably says a lot about the places that the two different games are in. Obviously, we went to the fifth day of the test match, and that was totally free. And it's great, because the biggest thing I think for having a sports growth in the kind of space that women's cricket is as like the sort of, as saying, it's like bums on seats. And if you've got, even if it is for a fiver, 20,000 people at the Oval, that's people watching the sport. And I think that we shouldn't. I think people like to go, it's women's cricket. They only turn up because it's cheap. And it's like, well, people are turning up, and that's the difference, you know. As long as we kind of build on that, and it will get to a point where there's people still, you can charge. You'll be able to charge the same price to men's, at least that's the place that it's going to. But having people there to watch is the most important thing, and that says a lot about where the women's game is. We're selling our crowds.
Some of the comments that I've seen of sort of talking about, women's cricket doesn't make any money, no one goes to watch it. If that's the case, then there should be no county cricket, basically. It's sort of the same argument. County cricket makes no money, List A cricket makes no money, the Blast for some counties makes money, but for some doesn't particularly. The Hundred's not making massive money at the moment. It's basically what you're saying is you just want international cricket. However, without anything around international cricket, you'll have no skill, no quality. It'll end up just being, okay, let's go to a pub, let's grab 11 lads, 11 girls, whoever it might be. Okay, you guys are now the England cricket team, because you're not going to have any sort of grassroots behind it, any progression, any sort of way for people to develop their skills. You have to almost have something like county cricket and lower down things to not lost lead, but to help develop. And the women's cricket has actually proven that it's far more financially viable than 90% of men's cricket in this country.
Sellouts at Taunton, Bristol, and Hampshire in the last three games. Not quite a sellout at the Oval or Lords, but over 20,000, breaking English domestic bilateral records. It's just so exciting to watch. And a lot of people saying it's not financially viable. I think the big word is even yet. Think about what's going to happen in 10 years when more and more people, you can't stop the momentum it's currently got. We look at women's football, look at the excitement there is for the Women's Football World Cup. We're going to see an absolute game shifter, and it's only going to mean more money for the ECB. Let's not kid up. How fantastic is that? That means your county cricket, which you don't go to but want to protect, is going to be even more financially viable due to the women's cricket. Also, in positive female news, the ICC have announced that all prize money for ICC tournaments will be equal between men and women. And of course, people are angry about that. But again, Charlotte, how fantastic is that? It's not fantastic that it's taken this long, but at least they've made that step.
Yeah, it's great for the women's game. Like, they're playing just as well, if not sometimes better than what the men do. They're getting the game out there. And the fact that now they are going to be given the same treatment, basically, it's great for them.
It is superb. And I think we're going to end on, England have got seven more games left in the summer. Probably when you're hearing this, they'll only have six. With three T20s and three ODIs against Sri Lanka in September and late August. So if you haven't been able to go to the Women's Ashes, make sure you go along to see England women against Sri Lanka. All in all, it's been an absolutely fantastic summer for women's cricket so far. And I'm going to say this, Toby, I'm going to be nice about the 100. I don't think we'd be at this point without the 100. The 100 is complete. And just listening back to a lot of our podcasts, you, to be fair, have been very much championing the women's game with the 100. And you're completely right. You've been absolutely right. So, Toby, well done for being a feminist icon. Very proud of you. And Will, Charlotte, thank you very much for joining us on the podcast. It's been an absolute pleasure having you guys on. Plenty to listen to. We have a review of the Headingley Test match on our podcast feed with Monty Panesar.
Well, I think James Anderson's been announced as a replacement for Ollie Robinson in the men's test coming up later this week. Which I think should be interesting to see how he goes back in after averaging 75 with the ball this series so far.
Are you guys any more hopeful that England's men's team will be able to pull off the run chase of the series, if that makes sense? Does that make sense, Toby? That they're chasing the series? Yeah. You think they'll do it?
Let's go with it.
You were very negative in the Ashes preview. Has that changed a little bit?
I really don't know.
Really? We're not going to get an answer. I need a yes or no. Are England going to win?
No.
Lovely. Toby, are England going to win?
No.
Will, are England going to win?
Yeah, Moeen's going to hit 150 off 25 balls. Number three, yeah.
The maths sort of works there. I forgot Moe's been moving.
Just about.
But wait, we're going away from the topic. Women's cricket has come leaps and bounds this summer, and it's been an absolute pleasure to talk with you three about it. So stay tuned, and we'll have more women's content coming up soon. Toby, we end this in one way. I'll say go well, and you say...
Cheers.